Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm extremely honored to welcome you on the first panel that focuses on the Italian XR scene. As soon as Pascal was suggesting the title Overview of the XR industry, my first comment was, actually, we don't really have an industry, a mature industry, or even an existing one. So actually, the goal of this panel is to address the following question: how to foster the Italian scene? And all of you are welcome at the end of the presentation of our panelists to share your experience, vision, and all what you think that it might fill the gap of our national scene compared to other European one. So, after the presentation of our panelists, we will have almost 40 minutes of open session. I've been speaking with the Italian professionals that I can see here in the audience, so we will also have some contribution from artists, people from the media desk, European media desk, journalists, and also, for example, from Maria Grazia Mattei of the MIT, the Digital Center in Milan. So this is the this is like my welcoming, and I want to introduce our panelists. You all know Michele Railac, the programmer of Venice Immersive and the head of strategy of the Biennale College, that will bring his perspective from this 10 year of experience. Then we have Simone Fugnier, that is an Italian artist with an artwork in the section Best Of, and he will tell us more about his work and mostly the production assets that let him produce this artwork. Then we have Jacopo Chessa, which is the director of the Veneto Film Commission. Carlo Rodomonti, head of strategic and digital marketing of Rice Cinema. And Barbara Grespi, associate professor of the Università Statale Milan. And she will bring both experience, the one of the ERC research group and icon based in Milan, but as well the new section of Filmmaker Fest dedicated to Italian VR. But so, first, I want to briefly introduce myself. My name is Sara Tirelli. I'm an artist and filmmaker, and I'm the co-founder and director of this new department of the National Film School called CSC Immersive Art, a center for the expanded moving image. This initiative has been possible thanks to the initiative of the Veneto Film Commission, Jacopo Chessa, the director that had the idea, and he has support the agreement between the Veneto region and the Centro Sperimentale di Cinematografia. And of course, I also want to thank Arianna Silvestrini, which is the consultant of the Regione Veneto, that she has been actively working for this agreement. Okay, so, apart of who am I, I'm going to briefly introduce you the institution that I'm here representing. The Centro Sperimentale di Cinematografia was founded in 1935, and since then has been a place of active experimentation and production with a strong legacy on fostering high-quality talent of the moving industry. Apart from the school, the activity of the Fondazione, it's also Cineteca Nazionale, which does preserve, collect, and restore our cinematic and photographic heritage. And it's from this archive, in particularly the photographic one, that the first seed of our vision came to life. Thanks to the visual research and work of Kensuke Koike, a Japanese artist based in Venice, we have the pleasure to have here. We did an artistic commission to Kenske, which I think the most of you know, that work on archival images, and thanks to the collage technique is able to give a second life to old images. And so with this artistic commission, we want to bring and convey the attitude of the CSC Immersive Art, which is to remix and push forward the moving image practice through new territory. Because we strongly believe that every medium of the future contains the medium of the past, but any new medium needs to strive in order to find its uniqueness instead of being shaped by pre-existing narrative. Okay, I think I'm done. No, I joke. Okay, so briefly, we're gonna open, this is a work in progress, it's upcoming center. We're going to officially open next spring 2024, but we will start with some lab at the end of autumn. Our location is the island of San Servolo. Maybe some of you already know it, and it's already the location where the Biennale College take part, and it's also a place where the International University of Venice is located, and is a place that has the shape of a campus where experimentation and production are pivotal elements. So we are in the middle of the ecosystem of the Lagoon of Venice, and one of the missions of this school is to highlight a Venice that is not only a location for exhibition, but it's a place of production and imagination. Artistic and technological vision are the two elements that are vital for the Venice, the city of Venice. So this is a work in progress, and I take the opportunity now also to introduce here our team of consultants and members of the committee. Michelle is in our didactic committee with Barbara Grespi, but most of all we have here seated in the audience Massimiliano Borghesi, which is our immersive sound consultant, Simone Verducci, developer, Cenk Guzelic, and Staus, Nikolai Staus, for the, everybody Staus, our creative technologies. So this is a rendering of our location. It's 700 meters square, and we will have a traditional classroom, space, workshop, and most of all, 130 meters of capture studio, where we will have, of course, volumetric captures, motion track, and a great facility for immersive sound. So here I'm finally happy to show you one of the images Kenske has created, starting from, this was Clara Calamai, a famous Italian actress, and the picture that she sent when she applied to the actress course. The goal of the school is actually to be an international program that is in constant dialogue with the Italian scene. The residency, we're going to start with one experimental year, as the goal to fill the gap between artistic and technical direction. That's why we will have two main curriculum, creator and creative technology, with the goal to support artistic practice, academic research, and technological experimentation. So the immersive art offers the student the opportunity to explore this intrinsic relationship between storytelling and technology, most of all when it comes to immersive storytelling. Okay, I want to show you this video that conveys our vision and what we are going to do with the Centro Sperimentale. Sound?
Thank you.
Okay, so we will start with this Italian artist, that is Simone Fournier, that will tell us something about his work. As soon as I saw that there was an Italian author on the program, which is something that still is pretty rare, I contacted him because I was curious to know how he managed to produce. So, Simone, it was very funny when we talked on the phone because he told me, actually, I produced with an international team, we did everything online, and we were produced by Meta. He will briefly tell us this experience, but I think that the work of Simone stands as a work that really comes from the immersive technology, since it's been done all in Quill. So, can you please tell us a bit more about your...
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, like Sarah said, I'm one of those rare specimens in Italy. I work in VR. I come from a 2D background. I'm a traditional illustrator. I always wanted to learn 3D and do immersive storytelling, but it just felt impossible, like for one person to just explore this medium, until one day I discovered Quill, which is this incredible tool that's, that was created for Dear Angelica, and it was owned by Meta at the time. I learned, I came aware of the existence of this software. I immediately left my house, I bought a headset, I started working with it, and I was honestly mind blown, because for a 2D illustrator, be able to paint the space around you, being in the canvas, fully immersed in a virtual environment, be able to paint it, it's just magical. And this was just the beginning where you could only really paint with Quill. It had no animation, it had no timeline. But then they kept developing it, and thanks to the work that was done, we were able to, you know, create a movie. So it started with, you know, me discovering this tool thanks to Goro Fujita, which is this incredible artist and is the, you know, the guru of Quill. I was following him before, but then I saw him, he started using this tool, and yeah, I was mind blown. I didn't know we were there with this technology. It felt like we were looking at something 50 years in the future, but it was available, so I bought it. And then, yeah, I started working with it. And then I was interested to see what other people were doing with this tool. So I started looking for other artists, other people that were... I was just generally curious to see, you know, why isn't everyone using this?
And this was, like, during pandemia, you told me.
This was a little earlier. It was around 2016, yeah. So I started scouting out for other people because I wanted to do, you know, some collective projects, some larger experiences, not just like one scene or a short animation. I was thinking you could do literally anything with this. You could do music video. You could do, yeah, full movies. So that's exactly what happened. I found the first person that I found was this kid in Austria, just on Instagram, and I was like, your work is amazing, let's team up, put our effort together. And we made a music video for a pretty big musician called Deadmau5. That was a great opportunity, and this video basically caught the attention of the creators of the tool. They were like, oh, we didn't know that you could do a video, so that was fun. And that basically led to other works, and basically we started gathering people like magnets.
So everything from the online community.
Absolutely, yeah. This first guy was in Austria, then we recruited a guy in America, then he brought a guy from Canada, then he brought Pete, our producer that's sitting right there, and then our animator. So yeah, our studio is completely virtual.
Yeah, it sounds you take co-production to a next level.
Yeah, to a virtual level.
Yeah.
and yeah, during the pandemic, Meta approached us saying, hey, you guys seems you know what you're doing with this tool. Do you want to, you maybe have a project that you want to develop? And we were like, of course, thank you. So we did. We started working on Soda Island, which was a project that I was working from many years before, because it started as a music collective, because I've always been working in the music industry as an illustrator. I was doing album cover, and I had worked with this incredibly amazing team of musicians, and that's how the project started. And then I had no idea that this project was going to become
something else.
Something else, yeah. I still can't believe it that we're here, honestly, talking about it. But yeah, Matt approached us and said, you know, we are looking for content, you are making content, let's work together. So thanks to Ryan Genji Thomas, I don't know if he's in the audience, but he was the guy that, you know, really supported us. He loved our project, he loved our passion, our enthusiasm. We created this series. We made the first episode that was really just like an experiment, a test, because it was really pioneer work. There was no reference. We didn't know, we hadn't seen anything like it. We didn't know how to approach it, what to do with it. So we started very, you know, timidly started. We had a very simple and short but sweet experience that was only like 6 minutes. And that was very successful for us. Also, you know, working with all these talented people from across the world, everyone brought their own background, their own experience. We all have come from different backgrounds. So it was a great, great cultural exchange, virtual one. And yeah, that led to making more episodes. Each episode increasingly became more...
became an epic production.
Yeah, it became insane. And it took 4 years of our life. And yeah, we worked through the pandemic, barely noticing that something was going on outside the world because we were in VR 8 hours a day. Super happy with it. I did eye laser surgery because I was wearing glasses, and I was like, you know, this is, I'm gonna do this for a couple of years, for the following years, I might just as well, you know, be comfortable doing it. So
it's interesting that you correct your body to be able to work with it.
Yeah, we really are like guinea pigs, because I remember when I was a child, my mom was saying, you know, stay away from the television. Now we're literally spending 8 hours a day with screen on our heads. But yeah, we developed this series, and yeah, it's been great. We've been presenting the last episode here, the first ingredient, which is the culmination of our series. And yeah, I mean, I want to thank everyone for inviting us.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then we will be curious to hear also how you are facing your next production.
Sure.
But so we have also to thank Michelle that select with leads this artwork. And Michelle, since these days I was talking with all this Italian crowd here, I have a question for you that might provoke the debate I would like to open here. So how comes we do host the most important event of VR, but still Italian titles are like a rarity? From your experience, what is your perspective on Italian artists and the production system we have here compared to other countries?
Well, first of all, I want to say that when I saw Tales from Soda Island, I took off the headset and I shared with Liz. I said, this is the Walt Disney of today. I mean, I've shared it with you. It's the piece is so remarkable. It's so rich and full of characters, actions. It's a proliferation of incredibly creative graphic design and motion and visual innovation, and so I really just want to congratulate you again. I keep saying this to them every time I see them, but to me, it's on the level of Walt Disney at the time. When we select with Liz the 28-30 experiences that we are showing here, we select them out of around 300-350 works that we see from all over the world. We do not have any kind of preoccupation on representing countries. We watch the pieces, then we come down to maybe a short list of about 50 or so works. We lay them on the table and we have our notes, and then at that point we start looking at the diversity that we need to represent in terms of countries of origin, in terms of gender, in terms of styles, etc. Because we consider that Venice Immersive has a responsibility to be as diverse as possible and represent the widest possible range of styles and give a sort of a photography of where we are that year with the creative immersive landscape. And it is true that every year we do have few Italian projects to select from. So it's not for me to say why, but it is true that on an international level, and our focus, once again, is worldwide, is international. And even though we consider it our responsibility as the Venice Biennale to have a favored focus on the Italian landscape, still, for Venice Immersive, we do not want to lower our standards just because there should be a quota from Italy. With the Venice College, for instance, in cinema, we do have now, Savina Nerotti is here, and it's our shared responsibility to foster talent in cinema in Italy. So we now have a special Venice Biennale College cinema workshop dedicated to Italian filmmakers. We had one the same way for an Italian edition of the College VR, the College Immersive. We had to stop this last year for one simple reason, is that we didn't have enough submissions. We did not have enough projects coming to us that to choose from. So we thought a lot about this, and we thought maybe in the 6 editions of the college that preceded, we were able for... Savina, was it 3 years or 4 years we had? 3 years. We had an Italian edition of the College VR. And maybe that's what it was. I mean, the population of people who are doing VR projects in Italy, we've already covered, maybe. So that I don't know. But what I want to say is that in terms of quality, there was, for instance, I'll just take the example of Saverio and Yolanda, who are here from the Veneto region, who were in our College VR 4 years ago, and they did a project called Vaillant on the Vaillant tragedy here in Italy. They did an amazing piece. The piece was the winner of our College VR that year. It premiered here. They were then selected by the FI Center in Montreal out of 100 applicants to be the first residents of the FI Center. They spent 2 months in Montreal developing a new piece together. And while they were there, the impact of their work was such that they were actually hired by a studio, and they now live in Montreal, and they work there as head of studios for one of the major game and immersive company in Canada. So, and it's just one example. I mean, you are here. You are living proof, you know, that an Italian can be an incredible artist in the field.
Yeah, that's for sure. But still, maybe this is unfortunately the tendency that we see, that Italian artists need to go abroad.
No, I know, because we have here a representative, you know, from an amazing team based in Trieste, who came to the college workshop and also did an amazing piece in the cave. I think that, you know, talent, real, strong, innovative talent, is rare by nature. And the fact that there are maybe few, quantitatively, there are few artists that come up through our selection. The ones that come through are amazing on an international standard scale. I'll take another example with Taiwan. Last year, we had an amazing quantity of Taiwanese projects. There's a very strong public support in Taiwan for immersive arts, and we had a huge number of projects. This year we have only one in the best of section. So it's hard to say, you know, there's nothing happening. The Netherlands, this year we have 5 projects for the Netherlands, which is a tiny country, but the quality of the projects was just unbelievable, and maybe next year there will be none. So That being said, I can only say that I see a connection between the way public funding, and when I say public, it can be local, from at the city level, at the regional level, or at the national level, and partnerships, you know, with tremendously important partners like RAI here. It's the way those partnerships are shaped. It's the way the funding is designed. And it's the way the funding procedure and the partnerships are equipped to adapt themselves to the particular needs of immersive arts. Most, because immersive arts is so young, most of the ways that are used everywhere in the world to support immersive arts are modeled after cinema. We know now that that doesn't work. Immersive is something different than cinema. So my perception is that in Italy, if you want to try and truly support immersive arts, then you need to rethink the way the selection of projects is done, how much money is given, think about not just development and production, but also distribution. There are many, many different ways that need to be redesigned. So I think that it is time now, and immersive arts have proven that they are an art form in itself, and that it is time to consider it as such, and that the public funding potential partners should sit down, brainstorm, talk with the producers, the artists, and the distributors, and see what would work best, and get inspiration from other places like Taiwan, for instance, or France, that has a very sophisticated funding system, to see how best that can be done. And then there will be more people, absolutely.
I very much agree with you, and you hit the crucial point of both, I mean, the goal of this panel and the actual state of art of the production. Yeah, that's also why we have here in the audience also some traditional expert producer that now want to hit the immersive, and hopefully we're going to give also information of opportunity. There is also Sara Bellinazzi from the Media Desk Italy. Yes, thank you for being here. And talking about regional fund, I quickly give the microphone, you already have it, to Jacopo Chessa. Because, as I told you before, Jacopo Chessa is the initiator of the school. And
it's my fault.
Yeah, my fault. And actually, everything really has been created spontaneously. And I did approach as artist the COFIN Commission, asking why in Italy there's no fund for XR. He has been definitely, had a long side. So he was actually really working in order to make the agreement with the Veneto region, Centro Sperimentale, possible, but it also opened a regional fund in this region for XR. So can you please tell us more
absolutely
about this opportunity?
Just a few words about the Film Commission before presenting our fund. The Veneto Film Commission is one of the youngest film commissions in Italy. I don't know if you are familiar with the Italian Film Commission's ecosystem, but just to be clear, every region has a Film Commission, which is a public body that basically gives support and services to production companies that shoot in the region. We started working about 3 years ago. And the main tool for the Film Commissions, for the regions, of course, it's in order to attract production companies and projects, is the production fund. The Veneto region launched 3 years ago the first production fund in 2020, the first production fund supported by European funds in 2020. In 2021, I suggested to the region to add to the traditional projects, features, TV series, documentaries, and shorts, the XR contents. So it was the first regional fund in Italy that supported XR contents. We had just two call for projects so far, with the, this part on XR contents. But I'm not here to tell you a successful story because we didn't support any project, which is probably the focus, the topic of what we are talking about.
Let's go there.
And just to explain and to spend some word about the fund, we support, we cover 60% of the local expenditure. That means until 50,000 euro. It's the cap is 50,000 euros. So if you wanna get 50,000, you have to spend about 100,000 euro in the Veneto region. I'm talking about eligible costs. I don't know if there are producers here, Italian or
There are some
if
producers.
If you want more details, I can give you later after the panel. But I was thinking about what Michelle said. XR is very different from cinema. This is probably one of the problems in Italy, but abroad. We are a film commission, we deal with cinema, with films, and we support also XR. So our audience are film producers, and we are in a film festival where in Italy, where the main showcase on XR and projects and market for XR contents takes place. So it's a problem with no solution for the moment, probably. I don't have, at least I don't have any solution about. About the school, I had this idea. I proposed a saga to develop this project, and thank for the work you did so far. And thank also to the Centro Sperimentale, because I proposed it to the president of the Centro Sperimentale. I would like to thank Marta Donzelli, who is now former president of the foundation, of the Centro Sperimentale di Cinematografia, that really loved this project and supported the development of this project. I would like also to thank two persons that worked from the Centro Sperimentale who are here, Savina Nairotti, who is Biennale College, but also Centro Sperimentale Cinemografia, and Maria Bonsanti for working on this project. It's supported by the Veneto region and also from the, let's say, central funds from the Centro Sperimentale, that means Ministry of Culture, Italian Ministry of Culture. I really hope that we will open.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna in spring.
Yeah, but
we're gonna foster Italian talents that will apply to your regional fund, but of course also for the international crowd. This is not a strictly Italian fund, but it's open to everybody.
It's open to all EU-based company.
Exactly.
Fund. Yeah.
But so, from production to distribution, Carlo, thank you so much for accepting the invitation. And Rai Cinema has been, since the beginning, very active with distributing immersive content. So we are glad to have you here and ready to listen to your presentation. I give you the remote control in order you can. Yeah, thank you. Is next,
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I hope that in the future we'll be partner of your new project, because we think that the unique way to create something good in a so complex sector or media ecosystem is to create good relation, good connection, good network, because no one alone can be create something significant in this sector. Probably the most of you knows Rai. Rai is the public service Italian broadcaster, and Rai Cinema is the part dedicated to producing and distribution. But the project linked to virtual reality is something innovative in our company, in our approach to the market, in the sense that everything born in Venice 5 years ago through experimentation, in the sense that our department, market department, is something real little. You are five people And we tried in these years to create an environment for VR. Because we are something similar to Venice Production Bridge. We try to be a bridge between authors, producers, directors, and audiences. My previous experience is linked to distribution, to marketing activities. And so our first objective, our mission, is to reach audiences, to create something that is useful, that can be experienced by people. Because as for the movies, for us, the culture is linked to the experience. If you create classical movies, traditional short movie, documentary, but no one see them, you probably not reached your first objective. We prepared with my group a presentation because we made several things in this field, and we launched an app, a VR app, free VR app, Rai Cinema Channel VR, that is available either on Oculus or on our smartphone. And sorry, I am not able to use this, but to synthesize, we preferred to start with a short video, 1 minute video, that lets you enter in our world.
Viva l'umanità e viva l'amore!
Vabbè, ma è stupendo!
Voglio Kim a questo!
Lo siamo tutti!
Che figata!
Ok, surely our mission is linked to create movies, to promote this market, but we tried to experiment in these years, and so virtual reality is only a part of our innovative project. In the last years, we tried to experiment with the metaverse, with the gamification, and now we are trying to study, it's a very delicate question, artificial intelligence, but we are working with Scuola Holden in Turin and with Sapienza in Rome to create a space where we can go deeper on artificial intelligence and on some experiments. So to explain that is a wider environment where we are trying to explore new opportunities, to test new languages, but also to reach new audiences. We made several activities. We started here 5 years ago, the first red carpet in VR that we launched on Facebook. We reached 80,000 people in 20 minutes, giving to the audience the opportunity to be with us in our red carpet. Then we started with the sound production. I want thanks also our partner Omar Rashid, that is one on our preferred director in this field. And we tried always to create a transmedia project because it is easier to start with some traditional content to create a brand, to create a real movie launch that reach a wider public. In these years, we sustained some production, and we bought several movies. And in the same time, during several activities, festival events, and so on, we created a corner for virtual reality experience. And surely, actually, the diffusion of devices at home is quite low. So we think that this is a good way to give the citizens the opportunity to experience this this art, this great experience. For example, one on our first movies that we launched here in Venice 4 years ago, happy birthday. This type of launch with an important launch on Rai Play, that is the digital platform from Rai, with 200,000 people reached in one day. Then we launched the movie on our app in our corner VR, and then another part of the story was storytelled throughout a social story created ad hoc for Instagram. In these years, clearly we have an important connection with Rai Cinema, with the festival, with the set, with directors and so on. So we tested several experiences, one with Chiara Ferragni here in Venice, another one in Morocco during Amamet set with Pier Francesco Favino. We created some VR scenes inside the movies, and we showed that scenes inside the cinema during a premiere. We think that it's really important to insert VR experience inside wider projects in which you can invest more money, more attention, more time. Other two important experiences were linked to PlayStation. We created a connection with PlayStation during COVID, and we had the opportunity to show our movies to the most important gaming community in Italy. Another part of this job is linked to connection with the university researcher, and we created a book, also thanks to the cooperation of Barbara, that dedicated a part to his project, with a white paper on VR 3 years ago. The last, but probably one of the most important things, is that we tried to create a network of VR Corner. The first one is that in Milan with Meet, thanks to the cooperation with Maria Grazia Mattei. Then with the National Museum of Cinema in Turin, where every day more than 200 people experience our movies. Similar experiences were made also in Science Museum in Milan. The last one is another type of experience, because in this case we are in a cinema, in a classical venue, where we started selling tickets to people. So a new way to manage this new experience. It's quite complex for rights and so on to manage this new type of experience, but surely it's a good way for exhibitors to offer something different in their spaces. Probably there are also several activities, for example in the French ambassador in Rome, or for example in Ospedale Bambino Gesù in Rome. We created there a VR corner for kids, for their parents, and this surely was a significant experience, because in this case, for the kids, is a way to immerse in other worlds during a very, very hard period. Some numbers, but are not so important. Surely is a market that needs more and more investment. Actually, we are trying throughout the association to create a good relation with the government that probably in the future will create funds also for VR projects. But we made several things in this year. This is our app that I'll close my presentation with a video, so you can enter in our app without device. Please.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Carlo, for your presentation and for what Rai Cinema is doing within the future storytelling. And we hope that we will see even further development. So also, I remember you also did a collaboration with Filmmaker Fest, and maybe, Barbara, we can start from there. And also in the audience, we have Valeria Polidoro. I don't know if Luca Masso is here from the Film Fest in Milan. And also, Barbara, since you should cover more than one aspect and we're running out a bit of time, I ask you try to be...
Yes, I will be really, really short.
Yeah. So,
thank you, Sarah, for this
thank
panel,
you.
Because it's really an urgent panel, as it is also emerged. And, well, I present here the work done within an ICON, which is a research group devoted to extended realities. I'll go to... Yes, in a minute I will explain this better, but briefly. And in collaboration with Filmmaker, which is an art and documentary film festival based in Milan, directed by Luca Mosso, who apparently is not here, if I'm not wrong. But, as you said, there is Valeria Polidoro. So let's start with these slides, who we are, which is indeed not an easy question in general, and also in this case, these specifics, because we are a very interdisciplinary and diverse and a group devoted to many, many issues and with very different backgrounds, interdisciplinary background. An ICON is an advanced grant financed by the European Research Council, and it is, well, the subtitle of this name, which I'm going to explain shortly, immediately, is History, Theory and Practice of Environmental Images. And this group is hosted by the Department of Philosophy of Milan and directed by Professor Andrea Pinotti. We started the work in 2018 and will finish in February 2025. So what's the meaning of this neologism? An icon, an iconic is a term that we choose to try to allude to a particular form of these virtual images that presents themselves as non-mediated. To be short, they want to resemble reality, they want to create worlds in which we can live, even if shortly. But to fully understand what an icon are and imply for our lives, we have gathered these interdisciplinary groups. We are 16 scholars from the field of philosophy, of psychology, art history, media theory, and computer science, basically. And I'm shortening, of course, my discourse. What we are trying to do is to interpret our work not as classically academic, because we want to stay in close contact, in close dialogue with artists, scientists, technologists, and most of all, institutions, which intend to promote the immersive art and culture in our region, which is Milan, but of course we are in a larger context, as Sarah already told us. Well, we work with the institutions like Triennale, like Hangar Bicocca, another important institution devoted to immersive environments and arts, Meet the Digital Center, the Meet Digital Center, and the Maria Grazia Mattei. And we try to develop a research, an art-based research. That is, we open many residency in our center and work with artists in strict contact and dialogue with artists, trying to observe their work and develop, perhaps help them to develop better their ideas. So we're trying to do a curatorial work in the strict sense of the term, taking care of the artists and trying to work with them, because I think the theory and practice are really connected, especially in this field, because it's new. So we have to learn what are these images and these media from the artist, but also try to discuss with them what this medium can become and can be in the future. So, for instance, we co-produced a work by Emilio Vavarella, who is an artist based in the US. His work is called Lazy Sunday. Then we are currently we are hosting two artists. One is exactly Sara Tirelli, because she is a wonderful artist, besides being an organizer, as we have seen. And Margherita Landi, who is an artist on the borders between theater and the immersive arts, theater and cinema, theater and voir, basically. And, well, the most important collaboration that we had until now is that with the filmmaker, a festival that has been always attentive to experimentation. And with them, we introduced last year the first section on voir, filmmaker expanded, and filmmaker expanded presented the acceleration of what we think were the best voir works produced from the 2018 to 2022. So we associated to this selection a double prize. One is the one already mentioned by Carlo Rodomonti, Rai Cinema Prize, and the second one is the Degrees of Freedom Award. And this small award was very important because around this award we gathered many artists, had discussions during a small conference, and was really productive for us, because I've always heard that we think of us as a community, voir community, ARXR community, and it's true that this community exists, indeed. Well, many artists participated to the call, and we have a new call that is open now, as you see on the screen, and we are waiting for creations. Okay, it's true that in Italy we don't produce such an amount of works, but we discovered that there is a submerged territory, there are seeds that we can perhaps help to blossom, and this territory of semi-independent authors. Here we have Omar Rashid, that I consider an important author in this field, and Davide Rapp. I don't know if he's here, but he was in Venice some year ago. Then we discovered perhaps some artists that are based in France or in the US: Matteo Leonardi, Emanuele Dainotti, Anna Pompermayer, Monica Mazzitelli. And we hope that they will increase their creativity also in the dialogue with us. But also there was a student from our academy, like Noemi Forti, who presented the work on the Voyage dans la Lune, sort of Voyage dans la Lune, but in voir. And, of course, responded to the call also artists were already selected by Michelle, like Chiara Troisi and Marcella Schillaci. So just a small remark on how we intend our work in this phase, at least. Well, we want to develop a thinking on new technologies, as well as a sensibility, where we're not an aesthetic in some sense. So this is the reason why we created also a column in a magazine which was traditionally devoted only to film and cinema, Cineforum, and this column is VR Forum, and we are preparing articles for this edition just now, in these days. And this magazine is really rooted in the experience done with filmmaker, and the protagonists of this experience are here in the room, Giancarlo Grossi from An Icon, and Valeria Polidoro from Filmmaker, and I hope that they will have comments on our common experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. So also thank you for your work, and yes, let's keep mapping the Italian territory. So before to open the open discussion, I would like to recover something that I forgot to mention, another important column of our team of the CSC Immersive Art, which is Giacomo Bon, that is also like working in the Lazzaretto since the beginning, and of course Alice Ongaro Sartori, that has been my assistant, project manager, visual researcher, everything. Beautiful Alice, thank you for your work. So we are ready, and let's see who wants to start. I've been talking, for example, with Valentina Temporin and John Volpato from Ultra. Omar Rashid has been already mentioned from Gold. Then we have, yes, Sara Bellinazzi from the European Media Desk. We have the Federica Polidoro, journalist, Roberto Malfagia, and Antonio Giacomin from the Trieste territory. So, who wants to start, have some comment and question? And, yeah, let's also try to keep informal and trying to get the best from this open discussion. Thank you. Yes.
Hello, hello. Yeah, thank you for this amazing for sum up of informations. I want to just do a statement or give an information. I'm representing a German university who is at the moment researching for international partners for combining the power of research and XR research, storytelling research in special. So there is an initiative in Europe already between an animation department of a film university of Germany, Britain, Norway, and another country, and they formed a new fund together. And actually, I have the feeling that the school I'm representing is somehow searching for a different kind of setup, like Italy, then they are as well from Germany, and different countries to get European money attached for teaming up students and research in the XR field. So, yeah, I can give more information to that later in person. Thank you so much for the hard work on the university side.
Yeah, thank you, because actually, yeah, that's perfect. We're definitely gonna talk later, and also for all of you, we left some printed postcard and also our visit card, and you are very, very welcome to contact us also for suggesting, because the main idea of this new department is to be a place open to everybody, and also, like, I would say the artistic direction is driven in the mentality of giving a carte blanche to curator, artist, programmer, developer, anybody that wants to propose something, because we really believe in the transfer of knowledge and the power of the community. So, Ultra, Valentina. Oh, John, okay.
Hi everybody, I'm John Volpato and founder with Valentina Temporina of Ultra. We are based in Milan and we actually opened this new company, Ultra, last year in 2022. But we started to work in VR in 2018. And we started really working in VR in 2020, because before we used VR as a tool because I come from art studies and work, so I was working before on I studied new media here in Venice at the Academy of Fine Arts, and so I was working in video installation and exhibition design, and Valentina is architect that was working in architecture. So we started to work together and to use VR as a tool for visualizing our projects, but then we discovered that it has more potential than that. And so we won a grant from the Veneto region. There was not something artistic at all. It was something very technical about architecture. And so in 2020, we made a project, was called Osaka 70, about a pavilion that we rebuilt, a pavilion that has never been built, because it was ranked second at the competition for the the Expo in 1870. It's a pavilion about a not very famous Italian but very good architect, Maurizio Sacripanti. And the thing that was interesting there is that we created this work in an artistic way. It was very technical at the beginning, but we created an experience that was a multi-user experience. And from there, we started to see the potential of the medium. And it was weird because we were into the pandemic, so we brought the pavilion literally to 100 Italian design firms and studies with our headset. It was a multi-user experience. So we went into the pavilion with architects and designers and guiding them into the pavilion. And so last year we started with Ultra, and we are founded by a bigger company, Spindox, that is, it's an IT company. And our feedback is that right now, as you said, it's not very easy to work on art project because, for example, we work mainly with brands, institutions, and
so that actually was my question: how do you produce? How do you finance your artistic project?
With the spare time we have from our team, so like 5% of our work is dedicated to this kind of projects, and the rest is dedicated to commercial projects. So yes, there's a problem probably in how the potential of this new medium is perceived in Italy. Because, of course, right now you don't have an audience, an actual one. So you have to find a way to... And in Italy, the problem is that nobody is seeing the potential of the thing and the potential audience that could be in the future. And like they're doing in France, they say, okay, right now you can't make money with VR. Actual money, you don't have a stream of money, but in the future you will. And so right now we can put money in order to have it, but in Italy, not so much, and it's very difficult. It's very difficult to find the good...
a good fund, but we're going to get there, yeah. I think, trying to understand which is the step and the gap that we need to fill. And I'm also pretty sure Omar Rashid from Go, that is one of the most active 360 director in Italy, has something, has an opinion to be shared.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Barbara and Carlo, for the compliment. I started working with VR in 2015. In 360 video. My opinion is that XR is the new big thing, but it's too huge to be approached. I mean, it's like saying audio video that is going from cinema to TV to video game. And in some way, we skip too many steps. I mean, I think any media to become... A new media need to be shared. I mean, it miss the social part. And what we did is finding in the theater like the way to produce our product. So, of course, with Rai Cinema, we produced some stuff that we are really proud to produce. But like the most complicated project that we did was financed by theaters. So like we did co-production with, for example, Teatro La Pergola from Florence that gave us the opportunity to produce a movie that is 90 minutes with... 20 actor in POV, and thanks to that and our company that we have more than 200 headsets. So what we do is produce the movie and then distribute by ourselves through the theater. That's like in some way open, you know, like a way in some...
Yeah, that mean, little, and also what you say, that the XR is really a vast territory. So it's also what we say in the school is interdisciplinary approach, and something that I didn't mention is that we're going to open the call to 12 students, but with allowing a variety of profiles. So
our goal is to get the attention from director from cinema, director from theater, architect, architects, performer, creative developer, because of course the possibility of the production comes from different fields, as much, for example, your approach from the theater one.
But one thing that I want to say is that, I mean, in a contest like this, what I missing is what was at the really beginning edition. So like the 360 theater. So like the experience to
VR theater.
To share together the same experience. I mean, like, if I don't get wrong, the first edition, there was maybe in this room like 50 headset and with the programmation. Like, I would like to, in a contest that is related to the cinema, to see more stuff that is closer to cinema. Of course, we need to have focus of everything, but that part, for my opinion, is the first step, because it's like a movie from the inside, in some way.
Yeah, maybe also too, in a way, having also the chance to get them conversation and speak exactly. with people and sharing. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you,
Omar. I forgot to mention this young lady, Elena Bascone. She's working in Bruxelles, but she is from Venice. And she has an experience to tell us, because she's working for the XR for Europe platform. And precisely, she's working for XR for Human. So, Elena, can you please share your experience and what you are working on?
Yeah, of course. So thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I do work on XR for Human. That's a European project that we have at XR for Europe, and is a project that's focusing on creating a code of conduct by 2025 on the era of XR technologies, and focusing on making them inclusive and ethical. And the role of XR for Europe in this project is to do stakeholder engagement and to create cohesive network in Europe, which I feel it's very much lacking. And I think that when it comes to XR, the problem that Europe has is the same problem that Europe has in many other areas, which is fragmentation, so the lack of unity. And I think that it's my point of view, but in Italy we have also the same issue, like locally. Italy is a very heterogeneous country when it comes to north and south and cities and peripheries. So I really, my hope is that this kind of projects and also the role of my organization will facilitate the creation of a united European XR ecosystem. I was reading some statistics that still before the pandemic in 2019, almost a third of Italian families didn't even have tablets or laptops as devices. So I feel like the digital divide is something that's broader, and inside of this digital divide, we have the divide when it comes to XR. And I really think that the solution for it is to tackle the lack of unity with European projects, with multi-level governance, and also with inclusion of different parts of the population, because having an older population in Italy, given that main XR users are Gen Z, and we have a mean population of around 45 in Italy, I think this also creates lack of unity, and inclusion in XR means also including different parts of the population when it comes to age. So this is more or less my input. I was very happy to have more of an institutional point of view hearing from the Veneto Film Commission. I would really like to know from the producers their experience when it comes to having maybe public funding, because I think that that's really interesting to understand if they found it easy, if they like facilitators like us. I would really like to know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elena. And so, talking about European fund, maybe, I don't know if there's some producer that has some question. Yes, Sara, please. If you can introduce the fund and also how Italy is so far reacting to it. Thank you.
Hello, and thank you for this panel. And Creative Europe supported the immersive works from many years, but in a new generation, 21st and 27, we have a specific call for video game and immersive content that support the development phase of these works. And now the call is closed, but it should be published on 26 September, we think. And the deadline should be at the end of January. And in Italy, we have a few beneficiaries in this call, and mostly are video game and not immersive content. I think that the problem is the industry, yes, the funds, the national funds, the local funds, the regional funds, and also the distribution of these works. And but I hope the situation will change.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that the application you received, they were mainly from gaming, because yeah, yes. I mean, we have totally to say that the gaming industry is already a mature industry, and so has been pretty spontaneous for this kind of storytelling medium, as we want to call, to go into the XR. And and this is why I think that this is very important, the foundation of this department, because so far, you know, also because when I was trying to first imagine which is the school, what is the center that do we need, I was doing that from my own perspective, like really what I would love to experience and which kind of institution I would like to go to attend. And we, I honestly think, because this is a non-competitive program and we really need the time, we really need to give artists the time to experiment as much with technology, but not technology also as virtuosism, technology with a creative approach that could shape and raise a new generation of author and creator. So hopefully, you know, also with the school, we will be able to have a new profile that will fill the gap of the call, European call. And so hopefully, of course, I don't have anything about against gamers, but maybe also a different kind of authorship within immersive and spatial storytelling.
So our work is to help the companies to present the request to media. So if you are interested, so if you need to arrange a meeting here or to Zoom, or we have three offices in Turin, Rome, and Bari, but we have our own website, a newsletter, so if you want, you can talk. We can talk, yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, there's some. Do you have any question or any? Go, Roberto. Okay. Agnese, of course, Agnese, sorry. I forgot also to mention Agnese, that she is the most active Italian journalist or writer, and yes. Agnese, yeah.
Wow.
She's a great supporter of the community, and she also writes for XRMAS, which is a platform that we all know.
Thank you, Sara. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Agnese.
I actually heard some very interesting things there. And yes, I write for XRMAS. It's a magazine about immersive storytelling. We have the part of articles with interviews to artists and creatives. And we have a part that's right now in beta versions. We're trying to do the final version of it, which is a database of XR experiences around the world, of festivals, of creatives, and people who are working in the field. So this gave me the chance to see many of the works, travel some festivals, and that's our main base for inserting works in this database. It's still, you know, there's still a lot to do, but we have more than 7,000 experiences in the list. And I was listening to both what Michelle said, actually, and the problem with founding. And actually, I've just been to a panel in which we were talking about the market of XR games. And I wonder, I know that there's a big problem for creatives with foundings in Italy. I know it's there and it's terrible. But I wonder if there are other problems too, more related to creativity. Let's say, I'm not saying that there are no creative people or that you're not creative. I'm not saying that. What I mean is, I had the chance to see a work here of someone that told me that they were doing another work. At some point, they didn't have funding anymore. So they actually used that occasion to create something completely different, which was actually very original. And this is the same thing that I saw in the previous years. Some works that weren't very expensive, obviously they needed, they were very time consuming and they needed people that could work on them sometimes for free, but that left a mark, that I noticed them, that I really wanted to talk with the author of because they were very interesting, very innovative. And I will do the opposite example. I had the chance to talk to a university that's not represented here, so I'm not saying anything bad. But this university, they're doing works on VR. And what they were presenting as a work was actually interviews of university directors. And I wonder, why are you doing that in VR? You're representing VR and you're doing interviews? Why wouldn't I watch them in another way? I would watch them on a video. So I think there's actually a lack of education on what we can do in VR. And maybe this school is actually a very good idea.
Yeah, maybe even a suspicion when it comes to technology. And I also, if I think to the art world, you know, we still are in Italy, it's like, oh my God, digital art, new media.
Absolutely.
Art. Oh my God, this is not art. So I think in Italy we do have a bit of this problem. And also, I mean, I do very much agree with you. Is I really from the school that say, why are you telling a story within immersive, because I do expect that this is the only medium you can use in order to convey the meaning of this story. I know that Michelle does not agree with me on this, I know, but this is actually my opinion, and I think that, you know, we don't have to produce for produce. Why are you using this medium?
No, that's a very important question, because sometimes we do it because we are all by the technology. Oh, I want to use it, I want to show.
Exactly.
But it can be very limited from the user experience. That's what I'm seeing. I'm not a producer, I'm not a creative, but I'm a user. And sometimes I don't see what I want to see, where I expect it. And then I found amazing works done from people that you're not expecting, students sometimes, amazing works. So yes, I wonder if there's something more to take into consideration than
that's found. Interesting what you said, because I also had the experience to give some labs also to teenagers, and I was so impressed about their ability. They were jumping into this non-linear narrative very spontaneously. So I also wonder if it might be, I don't want to say generation, but mindset that let you as author conceive a story that is not from A to B, but is, it has a different crafting, needs different crafting talent. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Agnese. Thank you. Okay, Federica, before was Roberto that signed, and then we go to Federica. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for inviting me at this panel, a very important panel about XR in Italy.
Invite everybody that I was meeting.
And I am a founder of La Jetée. It's a company based in Florence and started in 2015. And we are specialized in immersive and interactive storytelling. We do a lot of stuff in these 10 years. We're starting with interactive documentary, web-based, We create and produce over on 10 interactive documentaries. At first, we used volumetric filmmaking. We was the first company in Italy that used that kit and volumetric filmmaking. And we create also interactive documentary web-based with WebGL, that is the graphic library of 3D on browser. Anyway, and after we explore the space of XR, because we create augmented reality experience VR simple anyway, because no, there is a problem of production there, but we create a VR experience, XR experience, a combination of virtual reality and augmented reality experience, and also art installation that we use face recognition and other fucking stuff of this period of this time. And anyway, I also founded last year a startup about augmented reality. It's a software tool that I think we go to the market at the end of this year. And for bring a simple, the possibility to create a simple augmented reality experience for the people. I want to say just one thing about the situation in Italy. I think that if we want to create an industry, the industry, we need the infrastructure. Anyway, we need roads, bridges, okay, connection, facilities about that, okay? And this, at first, is very important. There is a great example. The city of London, at the beginning of the new millennium, started to create an environment thanks to the concentration of new technology infrastructure in the city of London. And London became, in the last 20 years, one of the most important places where create post-production, VFX, and other XR, VR experience. Because the city of London created infrastructure. And I hope that this place, Italy, this beautiful place, create infrastructure, right infrastructure, no? There is a render farm or other facilities, because it's important for us to have also the technology here, yeah. No? The last question, and I have no great concerns about the creativity of the Italian authors. We are a great, we have a great artistic propension, no? Because we are Italians. Okay. Anyway, it's not a national, no, but it's true. This because we grow up in an incredible place, and we have a lot of implementation every day about the history of arts, so storytelling, and anyway.
Yeah, I'm happy that you say Italian do it better. That's actually what you think. But okay, we need the infrastructure. Thank you, Roberto, and this is what we are trying to do here in Venice, because then our facilities will not only dedicated to the student, but our ambition is also to open the facilities to a production company, anybody that wants to give a try. And something else that I think is really Italian, and I was speaking about this from the experience of Maria Grazia Mattei, is that we tend to don't communicate, so I really hope that with this intention of mapping our ecosystem, and with this panel, we also start to have a seed where people can, know each other, share experience, and we should really also unify our force. So, Federica, I'm ready.
Sorry,
to...
I have the mic. I asked three times.
Okay.
Sorry, Antonio Giacomin from In the Cave project that mentioned before Michelle. Just to add something, I completely agree with Michelle for the production, the problems that we have. One thing that happened after our project in 2015 was we were not able to find fundings to create new projects. So all my new projects were funded by other countries. This was the first first problem. The second is how to see these installations. Our work is not a 360 video. That is easier because you can have an app like Rai Cinema VR. For an installation, you need events. I'm the curator and programmer of two small festivals, but festivals that has a VR section, and we try to create also VR cinema, not only during the festivals, but also in events like collaborating with other events that has no connection with VR, and to show the content. And right now we had in Ljubljana, in Slovenia, we had a Focus Italy on Italian producers and Italian works, and it was sold out in 4 days. We need more events. We need, I don't know if the Film Commission can make every, you are 20, I think, Film Commissions. Every region has its own. Maybe they can...
Except Molise.
Except Molise. But we know that Molise doesn't exist. You know? Okay.
No, come on.
Just, it's an Italian joke. To make something that is permanent on the the festivals that we have in Milan, on the, so this could be a good starting point to have
XR commission. I don't know if Silke is still here, but for example, yeah, the XR Hub Bavarian, yeah, they were Germany. It's pretty organized like that. That each commission, each region has XR. Regional fund, but still XR Bavaria is one of the best practice. Okay. Federica, sorry that we let you wait, and then I think we are very, very close to the end. And so, Valeria. Yeah.
I'm Federica Polidoro. I'm a film journalist. I'm covering immersive island since the very beginning, mainly for, I think now, every national newspaper, since I cover it for Repubblica and Il Sole 24 Ore and Arts Life and many others. I am even a professor in Fine Art Academy, and I am a voter in the Golden Globes. So my point of view is that to create a market, we need more education. So if we create an audience starting from middle school or high school with, I don't know, maybe history compound courses, geography compound courses, in 5-7 years, we're going to have the audience. That's the problem. For me, as a journalist, the main aim is to explain why within less than 10 years VR, XR, and immersiveness will be a need at the same way, in the same way that now it is a smartphone. So we couldn't need without it. And for now, it looks like it is a niche. And another issue for me, as a point, you know, as a film journalist, we need to create even a star system. I have seen exported movie stars as they are in cinema in VR, but we need something else, I think. And it doesn't mean that we have seen during those days a pixel girl, so it's not a game-ish star system, but our own star system with a red carpet, because people need to dream. I want to mention a very stupid example, but until 10, 11 years ago, a cooker was just a cooker. But now with all these realities with cooker, everyone wants to be a cooker. So if we create, you know, a discourse around all that, there will be people that want to join and to be a creative and to immersive and want to join a red carpet and dreams. So we have to make dreams come on people. A huge audience, I mean, everybody, not just a niche, like, you know, today we are people very interested, and maybe we found out the potential of this medium, new medium, and we have to spread it. That is my, you know, it's my job now. It's trying to explain common people, and also my students, why VR, XR, and immersiveness, it's a revolution.
Thank you. And actually, yeah, the point you took out really let us understand that there are many, from many perspectives, we need to foster our ecosystem. So I think there was another Polidoro, but Valeria, that want to speak. But if you Do you have something to say? Okay.
Later.
Okay. Yeah. We are going to occupy the Spazio Immersivo. We already run out of time, but then we, in case, can keep an informal discussion outside.
Okay, thank you. So I know we're running late, I will be quick. And so thank you everyone for the opportunity. I think this was very important and I have the feeling that we have a lot to share. And it was just a small time, we had more time for all the things that can be discussed about the Italian ecosystem. And I really wanted to share, and that I really agree with the idea of the problem of the funding and the problem of the distribution, and it's just an invite to do this a lot of time, do it more, to have the opportunity to have this kind of space with Italian producer, distributor, artist, because I think it's the very more important step to begin do something together. That was just
I agree, of course, Michelle.
I just wanted to do a practical suggestion. I think this meeting here, what you just organized, is incredibly promising. I would like to suggest that you start from also the potential of what exists. I mean, all of you who are here, who have spoken and not spoken, are the proof that there is an incredibly fertile ground in Italy to grow from different perspectives. I think you should start thinking of maybe having a regular gathering of all of you together, producers, makers, journalists, and people who are passionate about this, and bring up those things, and maybe have a day, a day of meeting, maybe in San Servolo, where you would come up with an agenda and bring up the needs and start from the community. I forgot to say that, for instance, here in Venice Immersive, you have the most incredible technical team, Giacomo. Yeah. Bon. I don't know if Giacomo, are you here? I think he...
Yeah, he just left.
But over the years, they have trained to become an incredible resource, and all the people who are coming from all over the world who have works here in the exhibition all say that the team is completely outstanding. So starting from what you have, which is already incredibly strong, and maybe, twice a year, have this forum of everyone who is involved, and then just feed ideas and try things and have this forum that will be a force of proposal. I think it would be amazing. I mean, what happened just here is so encouraging. Thank you.
And so we should say that this is our prototype, and so people, let's develop this format. So I think Elisabetta Rotolo, right?
Yes.
Okay, we didn't talk anymore, but thank you for coming here, and you're going to close this panel.
Yes.
And Elisabetta Rotolo is the founder of MIAT, but also now the ambassador of XR Euro Immersive.
Yes, I'm actually, just to highlight two opportunities and experiences that may interest all of us. As Sarah said, I'm a CEO and founder of MIAT, which stands for Multiverse Institute for Arts and Technology, and we are a creative and educational hub for immersive arts and emerging technologies. We combine an academy, which means that we train artists, professionals, and corporates all together to create an ecosystem in this field to create and in really invent and produce immersive contents and experiences, because there is low awareness in the sector, but also artists are not really fully aware of what they can do with all immersive emerging technologies, and also the intersections with the Web3 and the metaverse, which is really wealthy for all artists. We train over 200 people from all over the world. Last year, we're going towards an educational program for 2,000 this year. So, and then we do production and research. So we produce immersive art tech projects for huge brands all over the world. and as a immersive president in Italy and board director in Europe. It's the Federation for all immersive technology and emerging technologies all over the world. And we are, have a program for spanning from, web funding, networking, webinars, podcasts, events. And we are actually having a program which is very important for startups and artists focusing on social impact. We are raising over $300 million in this moment, and we are starting a practical educational accelerator program of 12 weeks. We are responsible for selecting startups and artists from all over the world. We will train them with very unique educational program, and we give them funds. So going back to what is needed in Italy, a few things. Education is first, because the awareness is very low, but you also need to come up with educational programs that are really like hands-on, I mean not only theory, hands-on and practitioner-driven, which means that you can teach these are things only if you're capable to do that. And also you need to connect artists and professionals to the market, which is very important. And then funding. Funding in Italy is really like unknown almost in the sector, okay? Which means that we work with ministry and other organizations creating funding, but they don't even understand our sector. So when they create like grants, they don't know what to write. Let's be honest, okay? And they ask for help. And this is very like important in Italy. It's really like something that we have to create. And another thing is that strategic partnerships. So why we also train corporations and not only artists, professionals in the sector? Because we need brands in the sector, because these technologies are coming, becoming the next computing platform, and also because we are not talking about technology anymore, but we are in a new anthropological moment where you need to create new languages, which is very different in terms of perspective. And then the ecosystem. The ecosystem is important. This sector, you can grow the sector only if we all work with a very open mind, with an innovation mind, and not competing. Otherwise, we will remain.
I very much agree with you with the no competition, and and also the hands-on, and that's actually the main ingredient of the school. And thank you, Elisabetta, for your contribution. And we officially declare this panel closed. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.